Well, Matt, we've just received the big news. The Lions team for the first test. 8 English, 5 Irish, 5 Scottish and 5 Welsh in the 23. Some big surprises in there. What did you make of it?
Well, I knew it was going to be a tough selection process. There's a lot of close calls, but there was a number of wows in there that I didn't expect. A number, not one or two, a number. From the front row in every position, there were people go, okay, wow, I didn't see that coming. Where if you compare it to South Africans, you saw everything coming. It was a much more predictable term. I guess that's to be understood. One country versus when you're amalgamating four. But even so, it was it's an exceptionally surprising selection.
Just from an overall view, would you be worried or excited if you're a Lions fan, do you think?
I'd be putting some money on the Springboks. That I wouldn't have said that earlier in the week, but I would be putting a lazy 10 or 20 across on the box. I don't know if they changed. I know earlier in the week the Lions were favourite. I don't know if the bookies, and the bookies are usually pretty close to the money. They might have changed, but I think that selection has really astounded me.
Let's talk number 8. Massive occasion for Jack Cunnan, a lad who struggled with injuries and then came back in the recent Six Nations after a long time out when he got injured at that World Cup in 2019. He's really taken his chance and he starts in that back row. What do you make of him, Matt? Is he the man or would you have gone with Tulibe Faletau?
No, I was worried they would go with Faletau. And again, let's just put the stage here. You know, they're all good players. There's not mountains and valleys here. There's not much between these players. But I think Jack overall has been the best number 8. He's ball carrying. His defence has been exceptional. As I said, Faletau has missed a lot of tackles. In the harder games. So certainly against Japan, he missed a considerable number of tackles when he came off the bench. And I thought Cunnan has been defensively exceptionally sound and has carried the ball very well. And in a group of excellent players, his form has been the best. So on that basis, I think it's been a very, very good selection. And great credit to Jack, all the things you've just said. He had that storming game against England in the last round of the Six Nations, and that's probably got him the tour. And he's grabbed the opportunities, even though he had a slight calf injury, which I thought could have been a tour-ending injury. He obviously has got through that, got another opportunity, made the most of that opportunity. So I think he's put his nose in front. And the other part of his, the other number 8s don't make the bench with just the way the team's made up. If you're a genuine number 8, like Faletau and Cunnan, you either make the starting 15 or you don't make the 23 because there's no spot for you on the bench.
Laws and Curry are either side of them. Byrne and Watson miss out. Harsh enough from Hamish Watson and Tadhg Byrne, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a tough one. Ken, how do you leave these people out? You can see because of Hamish Watson's outstanding form, they've made a spot for him on the bench. The beauty of Courtney Laws and Byrne, as I said all along, is that they play second row and back row. So they make the 22 in my, the 23 rather in my books because of the versatility that gives you a line out as an extra jumper and it gives you a bench. And that's made room for Hamish Watson because you're carrying second row, you're carrying actually 4 second rowers and because you could put Courtney Laws in the second row or you could put Byrne in the second row if there's an injury. And I think that's what occurred. I doubt Wyn Jones will do the 80. And I think something along those lines will happen. Either Courtney Laws will go into the second row and Byrne will come on or Watson will come on or Byrne will go into the second row. The unlucky guy in all that's Ian Henderson, who's been really outstanding. We'll come back to the back row, but I thought he would start. I am really shocked that Alan Wyn Jones is starting that test with the minimal rugby that he's had in the last 6 weeks, the minimal contact he's had with his injury, I'm really, really surprised at that. I thought he might make the bench and Henderson would start, but I'm really surprised he's starting in that test. And that, and once he starts, that changes the whole dynamic of who's on the bench, who's in the back row. Courtney Laws, again, I've always said that Gatlin was going to pick Courtney Laws to go to South Africa, but Courtney hasn't had a lot of footy. And so he hasn't really, in his form, said, I deserve that role. In his past form and what we know Courtney Laws can do, the physical boost he is, I thought he'd be close to that team. Now, that's the reason he's in the team, because he is one of the most physical players in the world. Now, to have him in that back row is a nice balance, but I thought Byrne had done more than him in the lead-up games and deserved the start, and Laws should have been on the bench in my books. Time will tell if that's wrong or right. If you look at the overall combination of that back row with Tom Curry, Jack and Courtney, it's a really well-balanced back row, as is the bench in that back row, second row slot. So, you know, it's a very good balance that they've selected. Are the right players on the side? Well, again, you know, I think Wyn Jones and Courtney Laws are exceptionally lucky. And if we spin up to the front row, I think Luke Cowan, Dickey, and Wyn Jones, the prop Wyn Jones, not Alan Wyn Jones, the second row, but Wyn Jones, are also fortunate. I think they've been good players, but they've been fortunate to start in the test side.
That's touched on Alan Wyn Jones, obviously Gatlin's man, brought back in. Captains aside, you said you're a bit surprised by that. Does it show what a figure he is around the camp, Matt, or just how good a player he is? What do you think that is? Why he's got the nod?
I think all of that's due. Like, he's held in such high regard by everyone that's played with him. Steve Tandy spoke about his dedication off the field and how hard he works at his injuries and how hard he works to prepare himself. And that obviously goes to line-outs and scrums and how you there's so much work second rowers have to do with learning the opposition line-out and studying where the space is in the line-outs. It's an art form and it's a discipline, and he's obviously brilliant at it. So there's no doubting his quality and the exceptional Six Nations he had, but he did separate his shoulder against Japan. He's only since that he came off, so that means, and then he came on as a replacement in the last game there the other week now against the Stormers. So that means in the last 3 months he's had about 50 minutes of rugby, and he's had a separated shoulder, which means he's had limited contact. And so now he's going to start in a test against the most physical side in the world. That's a big ask. He might very well do it because he's an exceptional human being. And he's proven that by coming back and being able to be selected. That was a feat in itself. But, you know, there is a limit to every person. And that's right at the end of the gambling as far as Gatlin and his selectors are concerned. That is now in the area of a gamble. And if you look through that pack, Wyn Jones, the prop, is carrying an injury. Alan Wyn Jones, the second rower, is carrying an injury. And we have to suggest that Courtney Laws has been carrying an injury. Now, they've obviously recovered to a degree, but it has meant three of the starting eight have had very limited game time because of their injuries. Now, they've obviously worked at it and they've done work off the field, but it's very different to starting a test match against South Africa.
It's just remarkable when Jones Hill become the first player to play 10 tests for the Lions this Saturday, you know, which is in the professional era, the first player. Let's move on to hooker, Matt. Colin Dickey gets the start. He was unbelievable during the week. It's big for him. You know, many would have said he wouldn't have started, you know, with George and Owens. Yeah. But obviously Gatlin's got faith in him and he's the man to wear the number 2 jersey.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because I thought Gatty would have gone with Ken Owens. I have to say I would have gone with Ken Owens. And you know, it's a fair journey from Luke Cowan-Dickey, who was reserved, to Jamie George, to jumping not only Jamie George, but Ken Owens is regarded you know, Ken Owens is regarded as one of the great leaders too. Everyone who knows him says he's an exceptionally nice man and a great teammate and great guy to have on the field. But that there's something here that Robin McBride might be seeing that we're not. Robin McBride being the scrum coach, because you're going to have to really take on this South African scrum. Again, I know we've spoken about it. First test, 2009, Lions against South Africa. Their scrum got hockeyed. They lost the test. So I'm sure that is in their mind. So I just wonder if that combination of Wyn Jones, Cowan Dickey and Furlong, they've got a plan to do something. They're quite compact people. They're not tall. They're compact front rowers. They're not obviously not small men. But they want, if you can get your body height under the South Africans, which has always been the theory in Australia, if you can get them down to a working level in the scrum that they're uncomfortable with, they can't transfer their power through. So if you come up a bit, it's easy to push. If you bring them down to a working height that they're not comfortable on, it inhibits their ability to get power through the scrum. Now, that is a very good theory. It's something that's been around for a long time. And maybe that has something to do with it. You also look at Rory Sutherland as the backup prop and not Vunipola. He is also low to the ground and likes to scrummage low. Marco Vunipola doesn't. He's a higher scrummaging guy, powerful dude. So there might be some of that theory in what the selection is. And obviously having someone of the size of Courtney Laws in the back row and the smallest guy in the pack's Tom Curry, who's a big man, you know, that they've obviously identified that they've got to go after the scrum. But yeah, in that front row, Furlong's the only one that I picked. I think everyone, every rugby guy that watches the game or girl sees Furlong as being absolutely outstanding, probably the best tight head in the world at the moment, around the field and in the scrums. Great lifter. So there's no doubt that Furlong's has earned his spot there well and truly. You know, the proof of the pudding will be in the eating, but that's where the game's going to be won and lost, mate, against South Africa. 1-8, it'll be won and lost. The points might be scored by the 9-15, but it's going to be won and lost in the 1-8. And I think the Lions have rolled the dice. There's no two ways about it. And it might come up. They might get double six, but the dice is rolled for sure.
Big gamble. Another gamble. Scrum half. Really harsh on Conor Murray, isn't it? You know, a lad who was given the captaincy a couple of weeks ago. And now Ali Price comes in, takes his jersey. Murray has to take a place on the bench. That's got to be pretty hard to take for Conor Murray, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's a step down, isn't it? Isn't it amazing what rugby can do to you in a very short period of time? Lift you up to be captain of the Lions, and then you don't make the test side all in a matter of days. It's we do make the test side, to be fair to Connor. You don't make the starting 15. I got to say, that's if you're saying to me, okay, we're going to pick a side on form, great, you know, and I think Ali Price has been outstanding. And Connor hasn't been terrible, but he's not playing where we all know he has played in the past. And when Ali's come on, the pace of the game has jumped. Now, there's a couple of other reasons for that. I know other people have been saying it. The pace of the ball that he was getting has jumped because they brought on the bench, a fresh bench against pretty weak opposition who have allowed the ball to be speeded up. So as a nine, if you've got to go digging for the ball, it slows your ability to get that ball out. So you're dependent on your forwards. But Ali Price has done the right thing. The problem with the selection is Courtney Laws, Alan Wyn Jones and Cowan Dickey. And if you go, you know, we'll get on to Van der Merwe in a minute and Elliot Daly, they have not been the most outstanding players in those positions on form for the tour. So you got two rules. In a few positions, the outstanding player on tour has got the role. In some other positions, they haven't been the outstanding player and they've got the role. That's where it's going to be hard for Connor to link that line. He could well say, okay, I know Ali's probably played a little bit better than me. I'm going to work harder and get it back for the second test. And I'm sure that's what he is saying. But a lot across the squad, they've got to be having those conversations. I mean, boys have those conversations after the team's been selected. You go, wow, how did he get there instead of so-and-so? And then you'd say, well, Tom Curry deserves his position. Jack Conan deserves his position. Bigger's been the best for sure. But wow, how did these guys get in? You know, it's favourites or whatever. And that's not good for a side. That's not good. So this team needs to pull together and get a result. But it's a tough one on Connor. But if I had to say who's been the form nine on the tour, I've got to say Ali's, in my opinion, has played better than Connor. There are reasons for that, but that will not take away from Connor's disappointment. But, you know, if we just put our neutral hat on, Ali's been very good. Now, again, here's the question. How are they going to play this game? Because there's the other part. You know, so we've spoken about how Gatland, the Lions 2009 is a long time ago. So it's pretty much useless for everyone except Alan Wynne-Jones. But in the World Cup semi, Wales played South Africa. There were 81 kicks in that game, 41 to South Africa and 40 to Wales. Wales got into the headbutting competition with South Africa and they headbutted really hard, the Welsh, and they lost. So if the Lions get into a kicking headbutting game against South Africa, they might be brave. They'll come up with very sore heads and a loss. So there's got to be another way you take on South Africa. So if you're saying Ali Price is going to accelerate the pace of the game, the way we've picked that back line, we're going to try and get around them a little bit and through them when the opportunities come and not just kick. Okay. But you're going to have to put that into play. And they haven't been able to do that. Well, in the one hard game against South Africa, they couldn't do it. So there's a theory on paper, but they've got to enact it yet.
Centres, Henshaw and Daly. Is it a case of they're the two that work well together, Matt, or is it the fact Bundiaki and Chris Harris didn't deliver so far in the tour and he just had to go for Henshaw and Daly?
Robbie Henshaw is one of the best twirls in the world. I love Robbie Henshaw at 12. I enjoy watching him play. I think he is close to the best in the world, if not the best, right up there amongst the top two. Now, he and Gail Fiku, best two 12s in the Six Nations. So you pick Robbie Henshaw and play him at 13 every game and then pick him at 12 for the test. Right. There's probably logic in there that I'm just not smart enough to see. But I'm happy to be educated if anyone wants to do it to me on why you would do that. Elliot Daly is a fullback at international level who has played 13. Gary Ringrose is sitting on a beach in Portugal somewhere getting a suntan. Yeah. Well, why? If you're going to play Robbie at 12 in the test, for sure, he's the best. Play him there. But we played Farrell at 12 in a couple of games. Now, I know Robbie's been injured for a couple. Played Bundiaki at 12 and Robbie and Owen Farrell at 12. Robbie hasn't started at 12 there. Or played 12. I know he's been injured. Bundiaki doesn't make the side. Farrell was always going to be a 10-12 on the bench. I get that. So they gave him time at 10 and 12. I get that. But Robbie should have got more time. That centre pairing hasn't had a game together, really. You know, they've been on the field together. Yeah. But they haven't had a lot of time together. I'm very surprised at the selection. Elliot, I'm confident Robbie will do a good job. Elliot Daly at 13 is a big ask in a test match. He's a quality player. I'm not running him down. He's just not a specialist 13, and a specialist 13 is required. Again, I'll say this. It is the hardest position on a field to defend that, especially from set play. And with the pace the South Africans are on, you know, I know we'll get to the South Africans and win it, but you've got Mompimpi and Colby M as 13 and the two wingers. And they're the guys who threaten you at 13. You're going to have to be really on your toes because those guys are electric, absolutely electric. And you've got Delonde also at 12 coming at you. He'll be coming at you in a physical sense. Now, he's not slow, but you're going to get asked a lot of questions. If I was this, you know, Dane Barr and Rassi Erasmus, I'd be planning everything around, let's make deception around 13. Let's make him make decisions. And that's hard. The good guys make it look easy, but believe me, it's hard.
And you mentioned there, Henshaw, he's a complete class act. He's probably in the form of his life.
Yeah.
You think that 50 or so minutes, 55 minutes he played with Daly against the Stormers will help him? Will help them both as a combination?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. For sure. But they are, you know, that's a 50-nil job. Hmm. You know, it's not. They have the one hard game they've had. You know, that they weren't there. That they have had time together, I know that, but still, this comes back to my point about selections right at the beginning. You know, Ringrose being left out was crazy. And not really, you know, they had Chris Harris there, but everyone knew, like, really, is Chris the best 13 in the Northern Hemisphere outside of France? No. You know, who was? Well, you know, Ringrose is in the conversation. Was Elliot Daly in the conversation as the best 13 when the team was picked? Certainly not. So, you know, it goes right back to those selections. And they've painted themselves in a corner where that's the group that they've decided to go with. They're saying Farrell's not in that form and they don't want Bundiaki there. They feel it might give them too much because they've got to put Henshaw at 13. That was where I thought they were headed when they were picking them together. When I saw them together, you know, for that short period, against the Stormers, I certainly didn't see that as a test starting sentence. But look, and they might prove me wrong. I hope they do. I've got every confidence in the world that Robbie Henshaw is going to do a great job. And that's his issue. He's a 12. Play him a 12. Like, I could never understand. He's a quality 13, and he could probably cover you at fullback. But that he's a world-class 12, not a world-class 13. He's a good 13, but he's one of the best in the world at 12. Play him there. Keep the strength. They've done that. You know, Dwayne Vandermeer, I don't think he was on anyone's starting 15. Good luck to the young man. He's going to be getting a lot of kicks. I hope he can catch well because they're coming at him.
Yeah, so on that point, Matt, three spots, including the starting team for the first time since 1997 when Townsend, Alan Tate, and Tom Smith played. So, what have we got? We've got Dejan Vandermeer, Ali Price, and Stuart Hogg. You touched on Vandermeer. Do you think, well, obviously not from what you've just given, you don't think he is the man to start now?
I sort of went through him. He was the last winger. He was my bottom of my list of wingers.
Is he just a liability, Matt, in your eyes, or what?
He's not a lot. Well, you know, it's a horrible thing to say about a young man who's playing for his country and playing for the Lions. Look, he's just got some weaknesses in his game that I think the South Africans can exploit. They know him very well. Obviously, he's a South African by birth and started at the Bulls. He's from the Cape, from the Western Cape, from around Bowen and Wellington out that way, beautiful part of the world. So he's in Cape Town, so his family, you know, are from that neck of the woods. So they'll know him. He's just vulnerable to footwork in defence. He overcommits a bit, doesn't use his sideline. Wow, Colby and Mampipi, wow. Footwork personified. Like, you're going to have to be a very good positionally defensive winger to keep those two involved. You know, and they're going to end up two on either side. You know, they come in from the blind side. So you're going to look up. At some stage, you're going to have Colby and Mampipi on together coming around the corner either way, and Am's probably got the ball, who's no slouch, and they're going to be moving out, and you've got Elliot Daly inside you, who's not a genuine starting 13, and you've got to make defensive reads on that. Now they've got Stuart Hogg there, who's a great player, not a good player, a great player, and he'll help. But, you know, again, that's certainly not, they might be seeing things that I don't see. There's obviously a huge height. He's a big man. So they're thinking maybe offensively when we box kick, he's going to certainly be able to get over the top of the South Africans, who are both incredible athletes but not tall men. So there's a spot in that. And he's a hard ball carrier for sure. But I think the other wingers would be feeling pretty hard done by, I would suggest.
You touched on South Africa there. 21 out of 23 of their squad involved in the World Cup triumph. back in 2019. Khaleesi back in as captain. Big yep. boost for them, isn't it?
He's an inspirational man. Hasn't played a lot of rugby because of the COVID. But, you know, I think that World Cup side have an X factor. And when you're in a game of rugby, or anyone that's played in a team that has an X factor, you can't explain it. You can't write out why, but you just have it. And it gives belief and faith. And, you know, it's the old story, the sum of the parts, you know. You add them up, they make 20, but really you've got 25. And that's this South African team. They have an absolute passionate belief in their coaching staff. They have a unity of purpose. And Khaleesi is sort of the personification of that. There's a couple of great podcasts he's done with some sports psychs I've listened to. And he even talks about it, that he doesn't say much on the field, but it's like he's a figurehead, and there's generals that they have, generals for the scrum, general for the attack, generals for the kicking game, and he empowers them to talk. And he basically says, follow me. I'm going to lead by my actions, follow me. And it's pretty powerful, you know. It's pretty powerful when you look at the quality of the people in both those packs. Forwards and the backs and the bench. That's a really powerful team. And they play, you know, like General Patton in the Second World War just used to say, the best attack plan is the simplest one. Let's be direct and relentless. We can all understand that. So in other words, that we're never going to stop and we're coming straight at you. South Africans are General Patton to the hilt. We know exactly how they'll play. That's not a mystery. Stopping them, that's a really different subject. And Khaleesi tends to personify that attitude. We are relentlessly coming at you. We will never stop. It'll never end. And it's going to be quite boring, but endlessly physical. And we're not going to let you get out of that. So even to the fact that they'll allow the Lions, the front of the line out, they've got this huge man, you know, Mostert, Estebet, you know, even Khaleesi, De Twight, they're all big dudes. They got four jumpers across there, plus these incredibly powerful men, great lifters. So they'll stack the back of the line out. So you're a lot to get the ball. And if your line's throwing the ball, it's going to be really hard to get the ball in the middle or the tail. And I'll say it's going to be a bit easier at the front. So Lions take the front. That's what they want. Why? Because they're the other six forwards who aren't involved at the back of the line out. They're just charging through at Ali Price, charging through at Dan Bigger, charging through at Henshaw, and trying to just this wall of green jerseys coming at you, and they're going to do it all day. They're going to scrummage so that you're exhausted. They're going to maul you till you're exhausted, and then they're going to kick behind you and turn you around. And then if you give away a penalty, take 3 points. And it's so frustrating to play against because you can't seem to do anything. You can't seem to get going forward. And it works. It's highly effective. That's what they're going to do. You know, Andre Pollard back in there at 10.
Yeah. I was going to mention him, Matt. Hits his 50th cap for South Africa, the vice-captain. Yep. He keeps the whole ship ticking along, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Like he's some operator.
He's so calm. You know, you watch him on the field, and I'm not suggesting that he's Sean's physicality. He's just so composed all the time, you know, and he's the general. So you and this is a really good thing. Captaincy is different to the leadership. So this guy is making the strategic decisions on the field. He's actually telling the forwards at the go to the line, okay, this is what we're going to do. After you win the ball, this is what we're going to do. So we're going to kick. So you got to get me the ball so I can kick, or get me the ball. We're going to 13, then I'm kicking or whatever. He's telling them what to do, and they just carry it out. And then you've got Faf de Klerk inside him, who's just this little ball of energy and aggression, who if anyone even thinks about not watching, he'll make a break, he'll turn him, he'll offload. And yet he's got this glorious pass that gives Pollard so much time. So again, you know, you've got that combination of the 9 and 10. And again, if you look at the combinations the Africans have, as in the history of the combinations compared to what the Lions have, it's quite daunting. Now, I know that's always the case with the Lions because they're throwing thrown together. But I think it's pretty exemplified here in this particular selection for the Lions. But, you know, that's a pretty daunting South African side. Before the South Africa A game, I would have said, oh, they haven't had enough time together. After the A game, I'm not so sure.
This is Gatland's fourth tour as a coach. I think I know the answer to this, Matt. What do you make of this selection he has picked? Do you think it is too much of a risk, Matt, to go and beat South Africa on Saturday?
Well, I think we've got to put it in perspective, Stu. Every one of these guys is a really good player. Every one of the Lions, right? They're no mugs. Elliot Daly at 13 is a highly talented player. I guess my point is he's not a specialist 13. And there are risks in that team that I believe they didn't have to take. You know, Henderson was in outstanding form and had done a great job as captain. So do you need to risk Alan Wynne-Jones doing that? Byrne was in outstanding form. Did you need to risk Courtney Lawless? And so on. We can go through, you know, Van der Merwe. Do we really need to risk that? And so on. So there's a number of selections there that I really question. Again, I go back to the original and the original selection of the tour. There was some grave errors, I think, on the original selection around the 13 position. And that is now a question mark. Now, look, Gatland's a great coach, not a good coach, a great coach. They're with them all the time. We're 10,000 miles away just watching the games. We don't really know what's going on. From the outside looking in, I think there'll be a lot of rugby people around the Northern Hemisphere that know the game pretty well that are quite surprised with the number of those selections. So time will tell. But you do know, the thing we do know is the Africans, you know, they're such a proud people. I think we sort of forget that at times. I know we shouldn't, but the South African rugby community are so proud of that team. You know, that comes out in the way they play. And we sort of underestimated all the troubles and difficulties that South Africa faces and has faced for you know, more than 50 years, more than half a century. This team sort of comes out and gives those people a brief exit or respite from those troubles. And it's done that throughout their history. And the people get behind them and the team get behind them. And when they get an inspirational team, they really do some great things. So I think it's going to be a fascinating game, an absolutely fascinating game. I was saying all along, it's advantage Lions, advantage Lions, advantage Lions. And the last 10 days, I've changed my song. Gee, it's easy to not be a coach, just to sit back and talk about it. I could just watch.
You jump ship, mate.
I wanted to see the Lions. Of course, I want to see the Lions win. You know, I'd love to see the Lions. There's so many, you know, it's just such a great institution. And you know, the Irish boys involved. It's great to see them. So many Irish boys involved there, and that's fantastic. But, you know, beware the Springboks. They are. You know, you know, I had the pleasure, if we've got time, to talk to some old Kiwis. I used to go across there in the 60s. I met some of these old All Blacks in Christchurch once. I'm sorry, in Dunedin, when the old Carras book was out. And the stories they told about how hard these people were was just amazing. This is All Blacks. This is New Zealanders. Hardened old South Island New Zealanders saying someone's hard. So it's and it's at Cape Town, which is one of the most beautiful cities in the world. So it's a great occasion. What a shame there's no one there, but it'll be a great game. But I suspect at the end the Box might get this first one.
And finally, Matt, you just said the Box might get this first one, but if there is one man to master a game plan, it is Warren Gatland, isn't it?
Yeah, the unknown. That's quite astute, Stu, because what we could see what the Lions have been trying to do. They've been trying to play. So the Springboks rush up and they stop you playing. So they force you to kick, and that's what they want. And we, because they can kick better than us, right? They kick better than anyone in the world. That's what they want. So if you, but they get the condense their defensive line and give you space at the edge. But to get the ball there is really hard. Now we can see the Lions have been trying to work on a way to do that under Gregor Townsend, where they're pushing the pass back very deep and getting around, trying to get around. Now they have got the ball to the whip, but they've done it so slowly that the defense has slid across. The key is going to be, can this team get the ball under that system to the sideline and get it to the width fast enough? Can Dwayne Bandemura get above, maximise the box kicks to get above the South African back through to tap the ball back so that they're just not accepting the ball? Can they do that enough and hold their discipline to keep South Africa out of their half? Because in South Africa in their half, after four phases, the referees are going to give a penalty and the South Africans will kick 3 points. Anything in their half, you know, Pollard's going to kick. So they're the unknowns. But Gatland is good at it. But I think they got caught against South Africa, right? And they would have learned a lot. Now, have they learned enough to pull this one off? I suspect they'll be much better for the second test. It's still like they're unsure, even if they're starting 15, as we can see here. So it might be one of those tours where they might take a test to get it right. We'll see. Fascinating selection. You know, and I didn't mean to criticise Alan Wynne-Jones, if anyone thinks I am. What a phenomenal achievement that man has done to get back to where he is. Nothing but admiration and awe for what he's done. My question is, he just has he had enough rugby? And he'll probably come out and be the man of the match.
Great stuff, Matt, as always. It's going to be a cracking watch this weekend.
Yeah, great. Can't wait for the weekend, Matt. What a cracking game of rugby it's going to be.